Radio Cubs postgame show presented by PointsBet. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer. He is the birthday boy, Cody Delmendo, celebrating a big Cubs win. Their fourth in a row, first four-game winning streak of the season. A third straight series win has been clinched. And your birthday could not have gone better, Mr. Delmendo, as a diehard Cubs fan. The game went from good to exciting to off the charts thrilling.
Luke, as soon as that game ended, I'm pretty sure as soon as Morel hit the homer, all night I've been saying, do not let me talk myself into thinking the Cubs are back. And when Morel hit that homer, I had never been so excited to be up 7-0.
Here's the baseball he hit out of Wrigley. We've actually got it. It's your birthday present.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Check out CHGO Sports TikTok. It's just a great game, man. Like, I couldn't have asked for a better birthday, honestly, when it comes to Cubs baseball. Like, oh, my God. That was a hell of a game. And whether you're are out on this team on making the playoffs or not, you got a little bit of glimpse of the future. We saw a lot of what could be the future tonight, and to me, that's awesome. Like, what do we say all the time? Like, for the baseball season, it's always like especially for this team, we've said that there's going to be moments where we're like, oh, this could be something for the future. This was one of those nights. But also, the Cubs are playing well right now. What is that? Six out of the last eight.
Yes, and tonight's pieces of the future were unexpected. They kind of come out of nowhere. We'll get to why some of the guys were there. First of all, Cubby birthday shot for you.
Well, let me let me join you here.
Are you toasting Hughes or are you toasting Morel first? Or Keegan Thompson, the mayor.
Oh my
God. Which of your three do you want to toast?
Oh man, need three.
The Cubby Kool-Aid shot.
Hold on. Let me get myself all situated here. Let's do Brandon Hughes first. That guy was awesome.
Brandon Hughes, here you go.
Okay.
You get the close-up.
It's a lot harder at 31, Cody. Remember that.
Yeah,
not as easy.
Well, they always say whenever you got a hangover, just start drinking again, and you'll feel better.
I mean, really, this game was unbelievable. I don't know which guy to even start with.
Right.
Let's just go chronologically, I guess, as we recap the game, because it was kind of a special night at Wrigley Field. You know, the weather's been great. They've now outscored the Pirates 16-0 to start the series.
Ooh.
What are you cracking open? An old style?
It looks like a Budweiser.
A Budweiser on top of the Cubby Kool-Aid. All right, here we go.
We're celebrating tonight, guys.
Keegan,
we're 4-0 in our last four.
Yeah, and listen, and understand it was the Pirates, but
who cares?
A team that I made fun of. But until tonight, they'd been trailing the Pirates, and finally the Cubs have been able to catch the Pirates and now move ahead of the Pirates, and hopefully that will continue for them because, listen, frankly, that is a Pirates team that committed what should have been 4 to 5 errors in one inning that set off some of the scoring. Like, they're terrible.
For sure.
Like, this is as bad as this is the team I thought we were going to see.
Mm-hmm.
And then they played a little bit better early in the season. We were like, well, wait a minute, the Pirates, I don't know. No, they're going to be bad. So let's start with Keegan Thompson. You know, he gets the spot start.
Yeah.
His second in a row now.
Yep.
And he had started this season off in this great role, this kind of hybrid reliever where he's coming in and he's doing a great job. And I was saying, leave him there. Do not start him.
Mm-hmm.
The first outing was just okay when he went out and started. And I'm sure he wants to be a starting pitcher in the long run. He comes out 5 innings, 4 hits, 5 strikeouts, no walks, and his ERA at home is now 0.83.
might say that's good.
I know it's the Pirates, but if you don't believe you have found some part of the future in Keegan Thompson, I think you're mistaken.
Yeah. Like,
whether it's reliever, whether it's starter, you have found somebody that will be part of your pitching staff.
Yeah, I mean, and if you really do want to play the, oh, it's the Pirates, well, he only gave up 2 runs against the Padres last week.
Right.
And he pitched well against the Dodgers. He's pitched well all season. Like, I don't know how much more you need to see to be in on Keegan Thompson or not. He is, I mean, Brent, Corey and Brennan like to say this podcast is a Fangraphs only, but Baseball Reference put out a tweet today ranking like the top players in WAR, and for relievers, Keegan Thompson is number three in B WAR. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So, yeah, I mean, as far as, you know, if we want to do the conversation for who's if he should be a starter or reliever, again, he straight up started tonight because Marcus Stroman has been out.
Right, out with
COVID. And so now, if he gets another start with Stroman in the rotation, then I think they're in on it. But again, he went, what, 5 innings, 65 pitches?
Yep.
So, like, there's no – that's basically what he's been doing all year. He just was able to go 5 tonight because the Pirates were, you know, were putting the ball in play or, you know, just striking out. He was great tonight. Like, I'm all over the place when I'm talking about what he did tonight. But
you
like,
get so excited for Keegan Thompson. I am.
I love Keegan Thompson. I've been on him since
the mayor. Week 1. He's your mayor.
He should be Chicago mayor. He is owning Wrigley Field right now. I think Marquee put a tweet out. You just said it.
They said, "What's your favorite part?" Or was that our tweet?
No, that was our tweet. But the Marquee put a tweet out like his numbers at Wrigley Field this year.
Well, he 0.83 ERA. That's pretty unbelievable. And,
right.
You know, you were looking at kind of the types of pitches he was throwing, 21 changeups total this season, 9 of them tonight. So he's adding to his repertoire a little bit, you know, and that's good to see that he's starting getting more comfortable with throwing different pitches at the major league level. It can only help when you can master yet another pitch that they haven't seen before, especially when you start going through a second time or a third time through a lineup. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. And, you know, Stroman, we've heard, has finally been cleared, and so he will be starting soon. It doesn't sound like he's going to need a rehab start, even though he hasn't pitched since, I believe, the 1st of May. Mm-hmm. So it's been a while, but this was a good start. And this is, I don't know that you don't put him back in the role that he was in before. I think that's probably the case, assuming Stroman's coming back. But you feel much more comfortable giving him that opportunity when it arises again later in the season, and it most certainly will. You know, you're not going to go through the season without one of the starters going down and missing a spot. I mean, just COVID alone right now is coming up in around Major League Baseball to where guys are missing starts.
Yeah. The Guardians had to postpone games, right?
Had to postpone games. Lucas Giolito missed a game. You know, this has been a long time, and now Jason Hayward's on the list, and Robertson's still on the list.
Right.
So the chat has a lot of people pretty excited about this game, you know?
They should be.
I did see a happy birthday shout-out to you in there somewhere.
Thank you.
Jack was saying that he's fully on the extend Wilco train after the reaction that he had to Morel's home run, was just like jumping up and down. Yes. He was so excited for him.
Corey tweeted out a GIF of whenever of that happening. I don't know how he does this. I need to get in on how he does this. But it's on our Twitter account, CHGO_Cubs. It's a great GIF to have for any kind of celebratory Cubs stuff moving forward. But his excitement was awesome. Like, and again, that goes back to, you know, my reasoning and everyone else who wants Wilson Contreras back with this team. And I'm not trying to bring it up. You guys talked about it enough last night, but there's my 2 cents.
Like, that's it. Just you can say whatever you want on your birthday.
I take that back. Don't.
There's children out there.
I've already had a Cubby Kool-Aid shot, and I'm drinking a Budweiser over here. I don't know, man.
Jack says, "I'm hearing the Cubs are going to be going 500 after this homestand. Can anyone confirm these reports?"
Ooh.
Listen, I just know they're playing better baseball. And maybe the Dodgers and White Sox were rock bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Like I said.
You know, maybe that was rock bottom and that's where they needed to build up from.
Yeah.
I still say it probably falls somewhere in between, but
I agree.
Nights like tonight are nights that you have to enjoy as a Cubs fan this season.
We will look back on this year. When we look back on the season, we will remember this night.
Is this a night where three pieces of the future burst onto the scene? Keegan Thompson, we've already seen, but here was in a starting role. Maybe Morel is the utility guy moving forward, one of those pieces. Nico yeah. Horner's hurt. You get another guy that comes in and does a nice job. And then, you know, the next part of the puzzle, Brandon Hughes. Here's a 16th round draft pick of the Cubs in 2017. He inherits a runner. We hope we don't have an update yet. Ryan Herrera hopefully will be joining us sometime in the podcast from Wrigley Field. He's been at the ballpark tonight. We don't know exactly what happened to Daniel Norris. Yeah. But clearly it looked like he maybe hyperextended his knee or yeah. something with his knee or lower half of the body was mm-hmm. bothering him. And in comes Hughes, making his major league debut with his family sitting there in the front couple rows of the ballpark. And he shoves, as you like to say. He comes in and shoves. And and Cub prospects told us this was coming. Brian said a couple weeks ago when we had him in here on the in the studios, he said, watch for Brandon Hughes. And we were like, who?
Yeah.
Now we know.
His story is awesome, yeah. Former out, well, was a pitcher, then tore his labrum, right?
And then, at Michigan State, he did. He was both an outfielder and a pitcher, and when he tore the labrum, then he stuck with
And then, outfielder. Went back to – they converted him to a pitcher after they drafted him, and he's just – it's a great story. And again, and I haven't really said this on this podcast. It's more of like what I've said to my friends, what I've said on Twitter. Like, the pitch lab is something. Like, I remember when they first announced the pitch lab was a thing, and people had jokes – people, I don't even want to know if you want to call it slander, but the pitch lab, whatever it is, it's a godsend because the Cubs are just, it's like an assembly line, man. Like, am I incredibly shocked to see that Brandon Hughes came up and, like, had the outing he did? A little bit, yeah, I did not expect four consecutive strikeouts, but I had expectations that he was going to show flashes of being good because that's, like, the Cubs' bullpen has been that to this point, not even just this year, but even last year, the year before at some points. Like, the bullpen is going to be a strength for this team for years to come. It is going to be something that we do not have to worry about. And it's honestly just very, very nice to see because for years – they really struggled with that if your name wasn't Pedro Strop.
Absolutely.
We actually do have an update on Daniel Norris, too. It's Achilles soreness that forced his exit.
All right, well, that doesn't sound great.
That doesn't sound great either. That's actually worse than the hyperextended knee.
Yeah, I mean, he's been pitching really, really well the last couple outings.
Right.
And that was kind of a sign that that sweeper, they call it, it's not even like a curveball or a slider. They're just calling it a sweeper now, but that had been working, and Brendan has talked about it. You know, our pitch doctor has talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
And he's kind of loved the possibilities for Norris.
His last appearance against Arizona, he came in, faced four batters, all four strikeouts. And I was like, what is going on? And it was in high leverage, too. I mean, I was almost on the edge of, like, being in or out on Daniel Norris. And he came in, in Arizona, high leverage, against a team that's been hot, had four strikeouts against four batters. And in the late innings. And I was like, whatever they did, just keep feeding him that water. I don't know what it is. But, yeah, so it sucks tonight that he got hurt. But at least, you know, we got to see Brandon Hughes, and who knows if he would have pitched if Norris would have, you know, stayed in the game.
I think
we
would have seen him eventually, but not on a night that had all these things going on. Hughes is the first Cubs pitcher to strike out the first four batters he faced in his big league debut since 1974. According to stats, the first pitcher in the modern era of baseball to record 5-plus outs in his debut, with all of them being strikeouts. The one he had of Vogelbach was just – Vogelbach was completely lost. That was video game-type stuff.
Yeah.
I was reading about him during the game, Tommy Birch from the Des Moines Register – saying that it was 2019, spring training. They came to him near the end of training, spring training in Arizona, and were like, listen, we don't see the at-bats for you. We will give you your release as an outfielder, and we will do our best to find you another job in Major League Baseball, minor league system somewhere, an opportunity in baseball somewhere, or you could try pitching again. And he called his dad. He called his college – like, he called a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. He called his mom. And they all talked about it, and he decided to give pitching a go. Now, keep in mind, he had some pitching background because he was good in high school and he was good in college.
Right.
Then he converted to all outfielder, now back to pitcher. But again, that's like jumping from college to the big leagues, because 2020, he says he's going to do it in 2019. That's when they approach him. So he's got a season of 2019. But don't forget, COVID hits. And right. in 2020, he doesn't even have a season.
Right.
So forget 2020. So that year is gone from his life.
Yeah.
He can just go out and play catch, but it's not with the rest of his teammates. It's mm-hmm. not with coaches.
Right.
So the fact that he went from that to Wrigley Field and five strikeouts in his
major league debut,
it's pretty cool. And you could see the smile on his face, which I thought was awesome,
yeah.
too. Like, he enjoyed at some of the strikeouts, he would just kind of turn around and, like, smile. And he was almost like he knew he couldn't believe it. And when he came into the game, there were two big, huge sighs, like deep breaths, like, here we go. He was trying to calm himself down. Well,
yeah.
Worked out pretty well.
I mean, of course, because they're on the Cubs, like, you love it. And we're going to, like I said, we're going to remember these moments. If Brandon Hughes goes on to be a big part of the Cubs bullpen for the next 3-4 years, we're going to remember this game forever. Same thing with Christopher Morel. If, like, he's a big part of the future, we're going to remember this game forever. Of course, we're going to remember this game throughout the season, and when we look back at our favorite games from the year, yes, we'll remember it. But long term, who knows? But my point is I think that's one of the coolest things about baseball is when guys make their major league debut, and we got guys like Brandon Hughes striking out four consecutive batters to start his debut. We got Christopher Morel hitting a homer in his first major league at bat, having the most elite bat flip when you're up 6-0. I'm sure all the people like Luke are upset. It's fine.
I'm not like me. I'm all for bat flips. I think people are too angry. No, hold on.
Do you want to give Brandon Hughes
a Cubby Kool-Aid shot?
I think I did mine for Brandon already. But
oh, you
I
did
do,
the Brandon Hughes was
yeah.
the first one?
Yeah.
So this is the Morel one?
This
then?
Is for Morel.
Okay,
yeah,
Morel. Yeah. And 31.
I was mainly saying people like Luke's age. So
wow, that's listen, man, 31's a lot closer than you were yesterday.
Yeah, that's true.
Just remember, 31's closer than 30. So yeah. Morel's a great story too. You know, he comes up again. Hayward appears to have some sort of, well, it appears he has COVID.
Right.
Most likely he had aches, dehydration, and then the quote from David Ross was, and sure enough, it is something. So it mm-hmm. appears he's headed to the COVID list. A 22-year-old utility man, Morel, AAA, AA Tennessee last year, signed out of the Dominican Republic by the Cubs in 2015. He's only 22. I didn't realize he was that big, first of all.
Yeah,
when he came to the plate, you're like, this is a big boy. And I was like, that is a big guy.
And that's an infielder who can also play the outfield. Like, who knows how long he's going to be up, because, again, the only reason he's up is because of Hayward going on the list or the injured list, right. whatever you want to call it. And, you know, Morel made the most of his opportunity this first time. We'll see what happens, you know, if, you know, where we're at in 2 weeks, if Morel's still on the roster, if he's, you know, if he's producing. Either way, though, even when Hayward comes back, you would think that they would find a spot for him, considering he's a utility guy. But again, he doesn't have a lot of AAA at bats. So,
right.
I unless he just lights the league on fire, like Patrick Wisdom style did last year, like something like that, I would get if they send him back. But for right now, we enjoy this homer, and we'll see if he's in the lineup tomorrow. Because I saw some people on Cubs Twitter tonight that were like, we started Vargas instead of Morel in a game. And then also, like, as the game got more spread apart, like, they didn't bring him in. So, clearly, people were a little angst. They wanted to see Morel.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him. Yeah, we got him eventually. So, I would like to see him get a few starts and see what happens.
Max Henley saying happy birthday, by the way. What's that?
He's getting a ton of love on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Brennan Davis tweeting about him. Justin Steele, most electric I've ever heard Wrigley Field. The big guy in all caps. I mean, he's getting a lot of love from his teammates down in AAA. So.
Yeah.
I mean, it was electric for the crowd that was there. Like, imagine what that was like for a packed stadium. There are a bunch of people saying happy birthday to you on Twitter, by the way.
Shout out to Max. I was hanging out with him in the left field bleachers last night. He says happy birthday to me. I just want to give him a shout out.
Very cool. Robbie's World of Sports said the same thing. I mean, first of all, it's the eighth inning. It's a blowout game. It's 6-0. He comes to the plate, and it's 0-2. I don't know what your favorite part of the whole thing is, like his whole at-bat is, but it started great. It's 0-2, and he works it back to 3-2, and his teammates get into it. They're all out of the dugout. They're all on the steps and on the railing, and it's a standing ovation from the crowd at Wrigley Field as if the game is on the line and Sammy Sosa has stepped to the plate, right?
Isn't that like what's different about Wrigley Field? Like,
well, everybody knew he was a rookie making his first at-bat.
That's true, but like, I don't know if fans would do that.
No.
Do you think Tigers fans do that?
I don't think so.
No, like, that's why being a Cubs fan and being at Wrigley Field is different. Like, it is. Like, I'm using the slogan that they're using this year. I don't care. Like, it really is a different – it's different here, man. Like, people care. People want to see this team succeed. People want to see – guys like Christopher Morel hit a homer in their first at-bat. And even if he didn't hit a homer, they just wanted to see him have a really, like, have a successful first at-bat of his career. The fact that it was 6-0 and he's getting a standing O, like, to get a, you know, to do something there.
Nick
G,
that's
awesome.
Wrigley. It's a vibe.
It is.
Everybody keeps telling me everything's a vibe.
It's a vibe, man. I love that place, man.
So the vibe of that at bat, again, right? You've had Keegan Thompson.
Yeah.
You've had Hughes come up and have this great thing. Then Morel comes up, works the count, gets the standing ovation in the at bat, and it's not just a no doubter. It's almost out of the ballpark. The next great part of the story is the bat flip,
right?
Which is, you know, something out of a movie. He throws it and he's pumping up the crowd. Like, he's running around like he just won game 7 of the World Series.
Yes, yes.
He gets to first base, and the next great part of the story is he misses first base because he's so pumped and he wants to yell at the first base coach.
Right.
Mike Napoli. Then he goes around the field. He's parading around, like, the whole time going crazy. And as he gets to home, the same thing. The teammates are all out just going nuts. Wilson Contreras is jumping up and down in his catcher's gear.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's giving him, like, not just a hug, but, like, everybody realizes they're going to be a part of this kid's lifetime memory.
Yeah. He's right? Always going to have that. Yeah.
I mean, I don't care whatever happens to him as a major league player. I don't know too many things that will top that for him.
Yeah.
Only winning the World Series might. It's going to be tough to top
hitting
that.
A walk-off in, like, a big game or something like that might.
Yeah, but this is his, like, first major league bat at Wrigley Field.
Right.
And a standing ovation for him, and he's 22 years old. Like,
right.
That is a special moment that not only he won't forget, the fans won't forget, and his teammates won't forget.
That's true.
Now, Wilson Contreras was going crazy, but he's a guy that also hit one.
Yeah, he was the last one to major league bat. Yeah, yeah. You're pretty right there on, like, he probably won't have anything that tops that unless he wins a World Series or something like that. But and if he does, hopefully it's with the Cubs. But that was just the how it all played out. I mean, we were halfway through the at bat, we had no idea he was at the plate because we had just learned the Ed Howard news.
Yeah,
and we were like, oh shit, Morel's at the plate. And next thing we know, it's 3-2, and he's hitting it out, bat flipping, and we're just like, what is going on? At least I am. It was the first time I got out of my seat.
Cody threw his cap.
I threw my hat in celebration. It was the first time this year on this podcast or in this building where I threw my hat not pissed off. So it was genuinely one of my favorite moments of the year so far. The 6 out of 8 stretch that the Cubs are playing, they're playing great ball right now, and again, it's just 8 games, but they're playing so much better that you can't help but at least be excited for what is coming down the road. So,
Jared is asking what happened to Ed Howard. Ed Howard confirmed out for the rest of the season with a serious hip injury. I don't want to bring down the rest of the night with that. It's your birthday. The Cubs won. But that is what happened to Ed Howard. Howard, the Mount Carmel star, first round pick of the Cubs, will be out the rest of the season. So, you know, hopefully he makes a speedy recovery and the Cubs expect that. Maybe Ryan will have more information about that when he joins us, hopefully later
in
the podcast. I mean, so many great things about this game. That's the one real negative piece to the night, but let's not let us drag it down because, you know, like I say, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Enjoy these moments.
It's nice to win one, man. And, you know, it not only, you know, we haven't really, outside of Morel, we haven't really talked about the offense. I know the errors really helped them, but Saya driving in those two runs after the two errors, I mean, we've seen the Cubs many times this year already where the team tries to give them something and the Cubs find a way to not come up with anything. So, and Brubaker had been pitching pretty well. And like, I actually feel bad for him a little bit for all of the loss that he took on his record. Cause he didn't deserve the loss tonight. But you know, Saya getting those two hit or those two,
he maybe deserved the loss, but he didn't deserve a lot of those runs
for sure. And that's mainly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Jonathan Villar got his first Cubs homer. Like,
I mean, Cody, the last three wins against the Pirates, I believe, are 37-0. I was never a math major, believe me.
Me neither.
Is that right? Can somebody confirm that, right?
21-0, the first one. 9-0 yesterday, and then 7-0.
37-0 against the Pirates.
Yeah.
I mean, say what you want to. It doesn't matter if you're playing the Pirates. Three shutouts against a big league team.
Any big league team,
yeah, that is just flat out impressive.
Yeah.
Well, the bullpen was great. And in reality, this whole game was a bullpen game. You know, like Keegan Thompson has been, he started, but he's been a member of the bullpen all season. So in reality, you had bullpen guys going out there. And other than Keegan and a little bit of Norris, it wasn't necessarily normal guys out there.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have to use F. Ross. Robertson's still not even there.
It's a great rest night for
Givens didn't throw again tonight. Right. Like you're getting other guys starting to come up. And, you know, we talk about these three young guys that had great games. And then, you know, early in the night, I thought, well, we'll be talking about, say, a six-game hitting streak.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, like, that gets lost in the shuffle that he's kind of turning around.
We haven't
around
even talked
again.
About Vogelbach and Contreras.
Well, I was going to say Saya. So Saya had, you know, a hitting streak extended, but then he also had the perfect throw. And don't get me wrong, if you're going to throw somebody out at home, it's Vogelbach, but you have to put the throw on the money.
Please, if you don't follow us on Twitter, it's at @CHGO_Cubs. We have a poll up. We're asking who would win a race to home plate. Yachty, Dan Vogelbach, or current Miggy Montero? And there's only one right answer for that. So head on over there and cast your vote because every vote matters. And I'm looking forward to seeing the results when the time is up, which is a whole day, so tomorrow night.
it's pretty funny. Yeah. And Ravi says, Cubs pitching has been pretty good.
Pretty good. Yes, it has been, man. When we say Cubs pitching, most of this year we've been saying the bullpen, but starting pitching has been really good over the last eight games, honestly. I mean, I know Thompson's going to go back to the bullpen when Stroman comes back, but without Stroman, they've still been able to get it done. You know, Justin Steele on Sunday. You had a really good outing yesterday.
Hendricks was good again, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, Steele was great, obviously.
Right.
Yeah, they've been spectacular. And again, they beat a good team in the Pirates. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what to say about Miley. Like that was the funniest part during the broadcast was him catching a Cliff Bar without even looking.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's got the headset on during the Cubs rally, doesn't want to leave the broadcast because he doesn't want to jinx the players that are having a good inning. And I think it was Gomes threw a Cliff Bar at him.
I don't know.
And that's
who
the
was.
Meme that's out now. Is it a meme or a GIF or a GIF?
Well, it was GIF. Is it a GIF? Either way, it was.
You call that a GIF?
I call it a GIF too, but it was tweeted out by.
Yeah, meme would be stagnant, right?
Forget it. How you say his last name? Lance Brozowski.
Brozdowski.
He's from Marquise, big analytics pitching guy. Yeah,
He's their pitch doctor.
He's their pitch doctor, yeah.
Rozdowski, I believe. I don't want to say that incorrectly. He does a nice job.
He does. He does do a really great job. But it was a really funny clip, though. And, I mean, again, there were so many things from tonight's game, and we're talking about that now here. How many minutes are we in? Like, at least a half hour at this point.
Yeah, right? Like, exactly 30 minutes in.
So, yeah, man, like, it's great to have these types of nights, and the Cubs pitching staff from top to bottom right now is just out there shoving, man. And then the beautiful thing is like, there's no one out there that's like really been able to expose them. I mean, they pitched well against the Padres. They've pitched well against other good teams too. I mean, even those two games they lost to the White Sox, they were very well pitched. Like, you know, maybe the Dodgers was the one, but like, the Dodgers are stacked. Like, they're you know, like, how do you measure?
A lot of guys are losing to the Dodgers, right? But a lot of teams are losing to the Padres too. Robbie says, "This is a fun Cubs team."
Yeah.
Now, we weren't saying that during the Dodgers and Sox series.
It's literally been a week. Just a little over a week. When the Dodgers series ended, right?
Right, but so that's kind of the roller coaster ride I think you're going to be on this.
Remember,
season
we came in here last Monday. You were telling me this team is not going to win however many games. I was like,
well,
with you.
I had predicted 71 on the season. I said we need to go in and readjust those.
Yeah, we went into last week, Cubs pregame on Monday. And me, you, and Ryan were like, we'll be happy if they go 2-4. And then they go 4-2 on the West Coast road trip, and now they're 2-0 at home to start. Like, I don't get it. But we ride the wave, man. Keep riding and take advantage of the schedule. They got one more against Pittsburgh tomorrow.
Yep.
Then they got four against the Diamondbacks, who they've already won 2 of 3. Then they got the Reds. And then the Sox at the end of the month, who, yeah, I know they beat the Cubs twice, but, I mean, let's be real. They're a beatable team right now. They barely have more wins than the Cubs right now. Like,
getting back to 500 is...
It's possible.
It's possible here in a couple weeks. You're right.
Right. It could happen. And then if that happens, who? I'm not saying that you don't do this and you don't do that, but it at least, like, gives you some optimism going into June, right?
Well, and another reason you should be optimistic about the way they've played is you've been without your ace, Stroman.
Yeah.
Basically the entire month. You've been out without Nico Horner, who had been your hottest hitter.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, like, you've been missing guys. Miley is first getting back to the team. Hendricks was off to a slow start and now seems to be, in true Kyle Hendricks fashion, finding himself, you know? Like,
yeah.
And Contreras is playing great baseball.
Right.
I don't know what was said. Like, Ryan to come on because I'm curious if Contreras will say what went on with him and Vogelbach, because former minor league teammates, it looked like Wilson was reaching around to say, are you okay? And then accidentally hit him with the glove in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vogelbach, they kind of stood up close to each other. I don't know if there was a miscommunication or if Vogelbach just didn't want any of the love because his team was getting beat, and he had just had to truck around to a triple, which he probably never wanted to do ever in his life, but it was his first major league triple. He was probably angry,
yeah,
tired, exhausted. Then he had to run fast home. He was probably like, this is the worst day of my life, because that man's four bills.
Yeah.
Like, he's a big guy. As far as major league players go, he's about as big a guy as you'll see out there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Prince Fielder was a big guy, but Vogelbach is, well, they used to call him Vogelbombs.
He honestly kind of makes him, he kind of makes Pujols and Yachty look small a little bit.
But he got around the bases to get that triple at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, yeah. I don't mean to hate on the guy a lot. He was a former Cubs prospect. I remember when people really were excited about him. So when it comes to him and whatever this whatever was with Contreras,
I don't think it was a big
thing.
I
feel like maybe there was some miscommunication, because it did look like Contreras was just trying to make sure he was okay. But yeah, I mean, he got thrown out at home, and he probably knows that jokes were coming because he is a big dude, and he probably just, you know, got emotional, and I get that. I mean, I'm a big dude. I got the jokes when I was in high school too.
Nobody wants jokes about that. But yeah. I'm like saying, I think you're right. He knew that was coming. I think he was angry that he had just done all that running. He certainly was a little winded for sure. You know. Yeah. And it wasn't like. He was out by.
But
that's because the throw was perfect. I mean, if you don't put the throw on the money, he's actually safe at the plate.
Right.
So, like, it was the right move, really, for him to go, in my opinion. The only way I feel like your birthday could be better is if you hit on your points bet moves. How'd you do tonight?
Oh, man. My birthday did get better because I had Cubs first five innings. They were definitely winning after the first five innings. I had Cubs money line. Unfortunately, I had JT Brubaker under 4.5 strikeouts. I should have taken Keegan Thompson over 3.5 strikeouts, but I'll take 2-1. That's positive. I made all those points. I made all those bets on points back, Luke.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah. That's the place to do
it. That's the place to be, and especially if you want to support CHGO. You should download the PointsBet app and use code CHGO when you sign up. If you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you receive a free CHGO membership, which unlocks all of our web content. You'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. If you have any questions, email pointsbet@allchgo.com, and we'll help you. Remember that PointsBet is your home for live in-game betting. They even have a new exclusive feature, live NBA same-game parlay for the first time ever. Build the perfect live same game parlay only with PointsBet. Combine your favorite bets anytime during the game. You can even boost your live same game parlays. And now online signup is available in Illinois. You can actually download the PointsBet app right now and register your account from start to finish, all from your phone. And I say it every show, if Luke can do it, so can you. I'm getting older too, so if I can do it, you can as well.
Do you need to borrow my readers for that read yet? Not yet?
I'm good. I'm still good.
Give it another 2 years.
Signing up with the fastest sportsbook is now easier than ever. So you can start living your bet life in seconds. Use code CHGO to get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. So what are you waiting for once the game starts? Don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And I'm going to drink this beer to celebrate my 2 bets I won today.
There it is. Drink it down. CHGO, we're here to celebrate birthdays. We're here to make sports more fun in the city of Chicago. Podcasts, live shows on every team every day, post-game shows, premium written content for the members at allchgo.com. That's where you can find all of Ryan's stuff, Jared Willis writing for us. Dope merch for all the teams. The shirts are great. They're not only cool designs, they're soft, they're comfortable, they fit nicely. They're going to be soft. Your favorite new T-shirt. And you get a free shirt when you become a member.
Yeah.
So that's clutch. And members only Discord, the CHGO Lounge. Marcus is saying, right now we are playing good. I love it. And I just really want to see these young kids develop and grow. Think that's the most important thing. I'm 100% agree with Marcus. Like, that is.
And he's someone who's
what you want to see.
He's been in our stream before, and a lot of his comments have normally been pretty negative. And, like, I get it from a very understandable, like,
realistically.
Yeah. So it's nice to see something positive from him tonight. Just a little switch up. I like it.
Max, by the way, says the Cardinals are too old to be scared of. I don't know anybody that's scared of the Cardinals this season, to be honest with you. I like the Brewers are the class of the division. And that's why when we made our preseason predictions, we said to think that the Cubs could finish ahead of the Cardinals and be in second place in the division. Crazier things have happened in baseball, despite the fact that the Cubs had question marks at almost every position on the field other than catcher.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, there's no way that we should just, you know, what the Cardinals are. I have the standings up right now. They are 20-16. Like, there's no reason to think that they're not going to at least be in it at the end of the year. That's for sure.
Well, I'm not saying they're a bad team. I'm just saying they're not. I would agree with the post that they're not the team to be afraid of.
We should not be afraid of them, no, especially with the way the Cubs are playing right now. But one thing that would be really cool to see is if this team, when they do play St. Louis eventually, because they have not played them yet this year, is if they compete well against them, that only builds confidence for a young team like this team. And that goes a long way. I'm not saying it's going to be like 2015. I'm not saying anything like that. But I do think that it does plant that seed out there that if they do play well against them, that it could be something that we see blossom over time. So, the Cardinals are having a retirement tour for an overrated catcher, a Hall of Fame first baseman, and a pitcher that honestly is kind of underrated. But, you know, good for them, I guess. Mainly, it's like they're celebrating an overrated catcher. That's
you just
mainly
took
the
words
point.
Right out of my mouth. I was going to say, this is just a retirement tour year for them. They yeah. might sneak into a wild card spot. They're not a good baseball team. They don't even
and
have
and it's
their
a
ace.
Shame because they spent all this money for Goldschmidt and they traded for Arenado. You'd think they'd be going all in to try and win when, you know, Michaelis is nice. Like, he's having a bounce back season after last year. You know, Jack Flattery, if he could stay healthy, that would really change their team, but he can't. He's not even pitching right now. They're literally being carried by their 40-year-old pitcher. You know what I mean? Like, they're just like, and they signed Steven Matz, who I know a lot of Cubs fans were like, oh, we should go get him. And like, he just has been whatever. Like, I don't know. Like, there really is nothing about them that scares you. Growing up and having to live in Cardinal Nation like I did, and then, you know, as I've gotten older and watched them, they've always had the pitching. And, like, they have pitching, but I think the Cubs pitching staff is better than the Cardinals right now. So, like, I'm just, like, I'm not really afraid of them. And that would be whether they were on the 6-8 stretch, or not 6-8, but 6 out of their last 8 stretch. Like, even when they weren't playing that well, their pitching was still there. So, you know, again, just not afraid of them. Milwaukee, yeah, they're still good. They're going to be very good, and they have to play better against them. But they are, I mean, they are 3-3 against the Brewers this year.
Kevin, I knew that Cody, before he turned 32, would bring up that Yadi is the most overrated catcher in the history of baseball, but I wasn't sure it was going to be like 12, 13, 14 hours into like his 31st year. Like, you couldn't wait for that. You hit it right away. Cardinals right out of the gate.
He's not wrong. I mean, the last, I'm with you, Cody. The last couple years of Yadi at the plate, whew, man, he's like Hayward out there.
Will Collins says, I was there, barely anyone in the park. Christian Morel got all the true Cubs fans up, barely could hear the call on the replay, still electric.
It was, I mean, we could see on the TV, man, like, it was fun.
I'll be honest, you know what it sort of reminded me of? Was Bodie when he hit the walk-off, and they were, like, tearing the jersey off him when he came home.
Yeah.
Got to home plate. Like, that. It's similar to that, but this was his major league debut, 22 right. years old, works the count full, and everybody starts getting into it, and he rocks a home run. Like, wasn't just a home run. It
on
was
to Waveland.
A bomb.
A bomb.
And they didn't do the rookie thing where they ignore him. Kevin Kada tweeted it out. He goes, they were all so excited, they forgot to ignore him in the dugout.
They couldn't. Yeah. Like, he probably got 5 or 6 hugs, like, before he even got to the dugout, he was hugging guys.
Right. Like, yeah. Is he there? Any technical difficulties tonight?
So we think Ryan Herrera will be joining us here shortly. We see him in the backdrop here on our monitor.
Yeah.
We haven't heard him yet. This is where we were yesterday when we ran into some technical difficulties. He's throwing his hands in the air. He's like, I think I can do this.
I'm trying to get him in the small box. Okay, keep talking.
Well, my balloons aren't showing in this shot. I got you these balloons, man.
Come on. They are nice. I like them. Thank you. Do I get to take them home?
Yeah, for sure, because they told me they were going to deflate by the end of the night.
My girlfriend is here. She's sitting over on the couch right now. Where do we get to put these?
We got Ryan.
She don't know. We okay. got this. Oh, Ryan's here?
Yeah, we got all right. Ryan.
We'll figure
They're
it out later.
They're going to deflate by the morning, so it doesn't matter.
What's up, man?
How's it going, guys? How you doing? Happy birthday, Cody.
Thank you. Good to see you. You're alive back from Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Alive but barely breathing. That was a good birthday present for you, huh?
Well, man, you should have seen Cody Ryan. Like, he, on the home run, he was throwing his cap at the wall, jumping up and down. Let's go. let's go.
I've never been so excited to be up 7-0.
We need a camera over there by the couches for that because there were so many storylines. Like, I don't even know where to even start with, like, did everybody talk after the game? This seems like one where you would get a lot of the rookie guys, but, man, they were all great storylines. Even Keegan Thompson was a great storyline.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just funny because Keegan had, like, another great start, and he, like, maybe was the one that talked the least or had the least amount of time, and anyone was asking the questions. Like, it was a lot of stuff. I mean, like, we're talking about Morel, his home run, Hughes, 5 strikeouts in his debut. It was a lot of things going on that it was a hectic clubhouse. Like, yeah, it was a pretty hectic clubhouse, I'll tell you that much.
What did David Ross just have to say about the roster moves today and how that then impacted some of these guys getting opportunities at the last minute today? And boy, they obviously took advantage of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, we kind of talked to him earlier. Like, obviously Hayward is IL, no designation, but that's a move that needs to be kind of filled. But he just talked about, like, he doesn't look at it as we need to give these prospects a shot. He looks at it as, like, hey, these guys are good and they can help us win some ball games. We always talk about the next great Cubs team and you know, figuring out or answering questions, figuring things out. I forgot what Luke always likes to call it, but something like that.
Exploring, evaluating.
There you go, yeah. We talk about that all the time. So, you know, like, when this next great Cubs team comes in, you know what you got, right? Ross said, at least for today, these moves with Hughes and Morelli said, these guys give us a shot to win. And that's how he looks at it. You know, he's the manager at the big league level. And that's how he looks at it. So, clearly they did. Clearly, you know, Hughes came in a big spot, you know, it's already a 2-0 count. Norris kind of, we said, you know, he's got right Achilles soreness. I want to say that was the diagnosis of his day to day. But you coming in that 2-0 count, it's kind of a big moment. And that's your MLB debut. He does well. Obviously, Morel comes in 8th inning, hits his home run, and then it's just those are the spots that Ross. You know, it's good that you're giving the prospects a shot. But it's also, Ross looks at it as, hey, these guys are going to help us win, and clearly they did that today.
Was there any talk about whatever happened between Dan Vogelbach and Contreras in postgame? Me and Luke have kind of talked about it, but we just don't really know what happened. Was it just miscommunication? That's what I thought. Anything there?
Yeah, I mean, Wilson kind of got asked about it. He said that, you know, He's known. He knew Vogelbach just from the system, being in the system together, and just that, you know, that this stuff happened. You kind of saw it on the replay, and Vogelbach kind of overreacted this, whatever it was, and then he's like, but you know what, it's whatever we said, and kind of you go from. He's like kind of ended it pretty well. He's like you know what, we won the ball game and they got shut out, so it is what it is.
That's Wilson.
The last 3 wins against him, 34-0. You know, you and Cody are better evaluators of this than certainly I would be. Sitting in the press box, what was the vibe like when Morel hit the home run? Because the crowd didn't seem like a huge crowd, but when you see a rookie getting a standing ovation on a 3-2 count, we paused here watching it at the studio because it was like, this is like Sammy Sosa coming up with the bases loaded. Like, was it as loud and electric there as it looked on television?
Oh, it was. I mean, even when he walked up to the plate, you could hear like the ovation the crowd gave, which is like a very nice one. And obviously when he went out there after in the 9th inning, it was just as loud. But, you know, you get in that situation, you go down 0-2, you work it into a full count or whatever it was, and then it's kind of one of those where we're some people are on deadline or some people are trying to finish transcribing or finish writing, whatever it is. But then we're like, you kind of got to sit there and watch, right? You kind of look up and you want to see what happens. It's one of those situations where you really did not want to miss it. Did not want to miss whether he hit a home run or whether he struck out. I just wanted to see what happened. It was loud in that situation. It got really loud. And then when he hit the home run, kind of, if there was a roof at Wrigley Field, it would have blown off. It was a really cool moment, obviously, for a young kid, 22 years old. I mean, it's just, yeah, it was loud here, and for good reason. I mean, that was a special moment.
I wow. always say, and I said it actually earlier tonight, I'm like, you know, they were up 6-0, and he hadn't even come to the plate, and I said, hey, guys, I said, Cody, we don't need any more heroes here. We need this game to get over with. Like, we need a fast game. You know, the old man in me was like, let's go. I need to get to sleep. Finish this thing off. Now I can actually say, as an old man, I can look at that and go, you know what? That's why you don't rush a game, because in baseball, you never know what might be lying ahead in those last couple outs. And sure enough, that was probably the best part of the game.
Yeah,
if it wasn't for Hughes.
Anyone who left early, which I don't know why you would leave early in a 6-0 game with the weather as nice as it's been. I know it's a little chillier today, but I don't know why you'd leave early from that game.
It was still like two hours and 40 minutes. Like,
yeah, I know.
You can live with that extra.
Of course I can, but I didn't know that was going to happen. I was like, oh, what could happen now that let's just get out of here.
Yeah.
Let's get another Wade Miley. Let's start building on these fast games. I love it.
Get that pitch clock in here now.
That was awesome. It was awesome to get out of here in 2 hours and 40 minutes or finish the game. I'm still not out of here, but it helps me out.
Any other news and nuggets? We did talk briefly about the Ed Howard injury, and they're now saying, I guess, season ending. We didn't want to spend too much time on it, but anything else, whether it's guys coming back or rehabbing or any other nuggets of news?
Yeah, so, you know, we asked David Ross kind of about Stroman, and we saw him in the clubhouse and just about his situation. You know, Ross, again, Rick Stroman was placed on the IL, no designation. But today Ross said Stroman threw a bullpen. They kind of see how it went, see how he feels tomorrow, maybe the next couple of days after. Stroman didn't really give any comment while he was in the clubhouse. Didn't really surround him for, you know, reasons. But Ross said, though, you know, again, they'll monitor how he presents tomorrow. And then he could get a start. He said, I forgot what the quote exactly was, but he said he'll get a start in the big leagues really soon, potentially in the next turn through the rotation. So I think he's just kind of waiting to. I think clearly, if he was in the clubhouse, it's kind of one of the things he was cleared, but it's just waiting on activating him and getting him big. Like, you know, he said he's still building up. Like, I think he'd started throwing a couple days ago, got the bullpen obviously today, so he's still building up. And then, you know, just kind of waiting till he gets to that point where he can rejoin the rotation.
Sounds good. We'll let you go so you can get out of there before the 10:30 mark. You know, that's generally a goal for the press box, right?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We got a lot of good stuff. We got a lot of good stuff post game, so I might be here for a little bit.
Nice. All right, so we can look for it at allchgo.com. Members can read Ryan's stuff. It'll be out coming soon. So. Let you get back to work, and we'll finish up the birthday boys celebration here and call it a podcast, huh?
Only an hour and, 40 minutes left of my birthday.
Yeah, almost 32 now.
We're celebrating it real hard, going out with a banger. So.
Yeah.
Love it. You sounded so happy about that.
Take care.
All right. We'll see you, Ryan.
We'll see. Talk to you guys soon.
Talk to you later. Bro. Hey, if you enjoy CHGO, one way to help us continue to grow is to download that PointsBet app and use the code CHGO when you sign up. Not only do you get two risk-free bets up to $2,000, but if you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, you get a free CHGO membership. That unlocks the web content for Ryan right there, and you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. We call it dope merch. If you have any questions, email pointsbet@allchgo.com. We'll help you out, and in case you missed it, online signup is available right now in Illinois. Download the PointsBet app and register your account start to finish all from your phone. It's the fastest sports book and it's easier than ever. So what are you waiting for? Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. So as the series continues Wednesday.
Before you go, I just want to say that the MLB Twitter account put out a video, and like the top half is the Cubs dugout reacting to Morel, and then the bottom half is like Morel hitting the homer, and then it like shows the the curtain call as well. They just tweeted it like a half hour ago if no one's seen it.
Very
just
cool.
Good stuff. I just wanted to throw that out there for the people.
I mean, all the reactions were amazing at the ballpark. Like, yeah, that's why you watch a baseball game, is to see something like that happen. Mm-hmm. And there were multiple moments like that in this shutout win over the Pirates, right?
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about, like, that was a great moment of that we had later in the day. The earlier part of the day was your birthday celebration. I had the pinata here I surprised you with. And it's on our TikTok, is that right?
Yeah, it's on our TikTok, CHGO.
Can we play the audio portion of it, Kevin?
I'm
really
going
to describe what happens here that you can't see is...
Oh, I got the whole video. We'll be able to see the whole
thing.
So
you can see it if you're watching on YouTube. We'll give you a couple seconds if you're on Twitter to get over to YouTube because that's the clearest video. I will just say the building damage was minimal.
Minimal. We'll say it's minimal. Sorry, Kevin.
Here we go.
All right, here we go. It's 40th birthday. 31st birthday. So we got him a pinata. Swing away, baby. First swing's good.
Gotta swing harder than that. Come on, hit it. No.
Now he took out the wall.
Take the building down. More. More.
Knocks the pinata off the hang.
That was the sorriest pinata break I've ever seen.
I don't even think he's straight up. Music choice here, too.
Yeah, shout out to Casey.
I mean, you went up to get that pitch high in the zone, the last one.
Yeah.
And I will point out, I went with the good stuff. Kit Kat and Twix.
Yes.
No garbage candy in there.
Yes.
No garbage candy. Only the best for you.
Oh, God. That's just good stuff. Yeah. CHGO Sports on TikTok. That's a big promotion by us. Thanks. Thank you, Luke, for going and buying the pinata. And
listen.
Shout out to the nud, like the little shit I broke in the wall.
I feel like we could tape it together, and when Ryan's birthday comes up, he would not know the difference. Like, we could, that's possibly reusable.
Yeah, perhaps.
A lot of duct tape, but duct tape does wonders on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Series finale, Mitch Keller against Drew Smyly. Now, you look at this, and this should be the game that they should win. Now, baseball's a weird sport, and anything can happen, but you're facing a guy who's 0-5 with an ERA that's starting to push near 7.
Right.
So if the offense can continue what they've been building here,
mm-hmm.
you know, 9-0, 7-0, that would be nice. And, like, finish it off now. Don't
right.
don't party too much tonight, Cody and the right. Cubs, and go and finish the job now yeah. when you have a chance on Wednesday.
It is only May. These players better be in bed, like, by midnight, considering it's a late night. And, you know, let's win a ball game tomorrow. Use your off days wisely. Drew Smyly, let's just say it. We did a post game for his game for the game he pitched on Friday. He was actually pretty good. He gave up 4 runs. 3 of them were because of some defensive miscues, we believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
He gave up some hard contact for sure. And then he had a wild pitch that allowed the Diamondbacks to get that 4th run. But overall, he was pretty good. He was able to go in the 6th inning. The Cubs lost 4-3. But again, he kept the Cubs in the game. Now he's going up against the Pirates, who, let's be real, they have not scored a run in their last 18 innings. They've scored 1 run in their last 27. Is that how is if I'm mathing correctly?
I think that's the math.
Because the Pirates' 20, last yes. 3 games, they have 1 run, and that 1 run was the game that they got no hit in, but scored a run
correct.
Because of yeah. the Reds being the Reds.
Yes.
So, yeah, I
and
think
then
that's
you
27
add,
in,
you add on an inning from a 2 innings from the previous game as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay. I didn't
I
even
believe
go that
so.
Far. So, yeah, their offense is really struggling right now. But Drew Smyly, for the role that he is in with this Cubs team, he's been very solid. 3.64 ERA, 21 strikeouts, 6 walks, and, you know, in the, what, handful of starts he has?
Yeah, he's been right. everything they needed. You talked about Mats. Like, Smiley's been as good a signing as Mats right now.
Yeah, and all you're asking is for five innings. With this bullpen, you're asking for five innings, and especially now that the Cubs have been getting length out of their starting rotation. You're asking for five innings, and even if it's only four, you're feeling okay going into tomorrow because, again, you've been getting length, so you can tolerate one iffy, you know what I mean? So the Cubs should win tomorrow. They should sweep tomorrow, but baseball is baseball, and we just don't know. You have to play it out, and, you know, just after what we've seen in these last two games, you'd think that they're going to come out and finish the job tomorrow. If they want to get back to 500, these are the games they got to win. So far, these two games, the Cubs have been dominating, and it's been fun to watch. There's no reason they shouldn't win tomorrow, and just keep it rolling, man.
It's been a night of vibes. Cody's birthday. We had Keegan Thompson. We had Brandon Hughes. We had Christopher Morel, and we had back-to-back shutouts, and now the Cubs have their first four-game winning streak of the season. So thanks for dropping in to check out the CHGO Cubs postgame show podcast. Corey and Brennan will have the series recap coming up on Wednesday night. Until then, Cubby Kool-Aid shots and fly the W.